BBL Drizzy.
BBL Drizzy.
You know what would be funny is to do all the different variations. Do the steel pan BBL Drizzy.
Yeah. The Dominican BBL Drizzy.
Do the salsa BBL Drizzy, or is that merengue? I don't know.
I think it's merengue.
My son was playing a country version of it while we were on this call.
BBL Drizzy. This is probably a jazz version. Stop at the top, a BBL Drizzy. Stop at the top, a BBL Drizzy.
Hit it, Cuba. Give us some BBL Drizzy.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Another episode of Decoding 40. I'm your host this week. This is Alaric. And I'm joined this week by my two friends.
This is your boy, L.O., a.k.a. Lawrence Graham.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy, Finn in the... First of all, I'm usually first, but okay.
Oh, are you? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm usually first, but it's okay. We're switching it up this week. All right. What's up? It's your boy, Finn in the building. Hope everybody's chilling out there. Peace.
So first things first, let's get through this housekeeping. And we want to invite you to call us, to text us at 619-940-4040. Give us your impression of the show. Rebut anything that we had to say. Talk shit to us if you want to. But we will have your number to call you back, just so you know. If you want to contact us through social media, contact us on Instagram, on Twitter. We're at Decoding40. And if you want to email us, we're at decoding40@gmail.com. If you're a small business and you want to support the podcast, let's talk about how you can sponsor. We can help each other out. We can figure out how to make our audiences grow together. Reach out to us at decoding40@gmail.com. Am I forgetting anything? The merch. You need to buy merch. Go to decoding40pod.com to get this merch. Get some t-shirts, get some sweatshirts, get some hats, get some mugs, get some cups, get some computer mouse pads. Do people still have mouse pads?
I don't know.
If you need one, you should get a Decoding 40 one. Somebody in your life is about to turn 40 and they need a Decoding 40 something. You should get it for them. Let's do it.
I'm not sure you gave them the website.
You did.
Decoding40pod.com is where you get all that delicious merch.
Y'all got t-shirts? Oh, delicious merch.
This housekeeping has been brought to you by Rum.
I guess it's time for the check-in. What's going on in your lives, fellas?
Woo! All right, so this check-in has been brought to you by Homemade Margarita with a cup full of tequila. Loving it! Anyway, kind of a slow week. Went to my doctor's appointment today. Got up, went to see the doctor. And one thing, I love my doctor. She's a great doctor, but the wait at her office is always ridiculous. And when I walked in there, the worst thing to do is when you have an 11:30 appointment and you walk into the doctor's office and it looks like the people who had a 9 o'clock appointment are still there waiting. It's the worst thing in the world. That fucking shit was rammed in there. It was like people trying to get into a club. It was just a lot of people in the waiting room. But it did move fast when it got my, you know, got my physical. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, when you have good coverage, you know, like going to the doctor when you have bad coverage is like going to an expensive restaurant and just ordering appetizers and hoping that it fills you up. Mm. But when you have good coverage, because she was like, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I got a pain here. I got a pain there. She's like, well, you know, maybe we can do that. I was like, nah, son, I got good coverage now. I got a $5 copay. We getting everything done. I'm getting x-rays, sonic work, pee work, all that shit.
You said sonograms.
Everything, monogram, sonic, every gram they got. Give it to me. Arthritis test. And she was like, so do you have trouble sleeping at night? I was like, well, you know, I have got the little sleep apnea. She was like, well, have you got it? I said, don't worry. That's the next thing I'm going to do. I'm going to do another sleep study. Give me a brand new machine, brand new hoses and everything. You know what I'm saying?
That shit don't work.
The sleep apnea machine?
Yeah.
It does work.
Nah, we heard you. We've heard you snore. Bro.
Yes, I know, but
that shit don't work.
He didn't have the machine though.
I didn't have the machine.
It only works if you have the machine strapped up.
Oh yeah, you got to have the whole Darth Vader face mask on, because what the machine does is that it stops you from suffocating, basically, because sleep apnea is basically you suffocating at night, you stop breathing. The machine actually forces air into your nose. Pause.
You're going to get this air.
Yeah, no doubt. Take that. Take that. No Diddy. No me. I don't want any air. Take that. Take that. But yeah, man. So went to the doctor. That was great. Was out of there within 2 hours. But like I said, I got all my blood work done, and then I got to go and take a couple of more tests. And I found like a mole that was on my back. I had to check out the mole, make sure it was normal. She's like, oh, it looks like a birthmark. You should be fine. But other than that, man, I'm trying to think what happened this week. There was nothing. Nothing occurred at the novella Channel 41 at my job. Everybody's playing nice, but everybody does know who the person is. And so that might be a problem later on. But
do they know that everybody knows?
I don't know, because I don't know anything. That's my story, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know shit.
Well played.
About shit. But
my name is Bennett, and that's between y'all.
Yeah, my name is Paul. That's between y'all. My name is Bennett, and I ain't in it. But
joining us now, the top New York meteorologist, Vincent Perez. Good morning, Vincent. How are things looking?
Well, the weather was kind of crazy this week. I hate getting up in the morning and it's raining, because who wants to work outside when it's raining? But today was a beautiful day, and came home, been binge watching an oldie but goodie, Scandal, and I've been drinking these strong ass margaritas for the last 3 hours. So shout out to tequila, margarita, and get me nice and fucked up. And that's my check-in.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's good, people? This is your boy, L.O., the man with more AKAs than the Black Campus. If you like this show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok.
Decoding 40.
Pollen has us in a chokehold out here, yo. I am sneezing like people have pepper in my nose. It is outrageous out here. The other day, I decided to sit in the park, chill out, relax, watch some Dominican players play organized baseball. Great game, like 5-2. However, I was initially sitting by myself on a bench, and a few other people came to sit by me. Granted, the pollen was no joke. Tell me why everybody was sneezing and coughing and not covering their mouth. Not once. Not one sneeze was caught, not one cough. And I started looking at everybody, and they looking at me, and I'm like, I'm trying to chill and watch the game here, and y'all are being disgusting savages. So then I'm like, culturally, do Dominicans not cover their mouths and nose? Because nobody did. I mean, I saw no one, the people next to me, the people who were sitting in the stands, the people Bobby. Who were playing, no one.
Bobby. So do they even serious. Like fake like they're coming up to cover
their actually, you know what they do? Some they weird thing. They take their thumb and their index finger, and they actually put it at the bridge of their nose and blow whatever snot got caught in the sneeze and blow that out. Oh, okay. So I was like, maybe I missed this all this time, because I've never noticed this. Bro, when I say not one person covered their mouth or nose,
they're probably sitting there going, why did black guy keep looking at us? That'd be we Dominican.
Why is he keep covering his mouth?
Why he cover his mouth like that? Why he black? Black people do that. We don't do that. DR, we don't do that, Papi. We just sneeze everywhere. You know what I'm saying, Papa?
I felt like I was in a cultural twilight zone.
Hey, Papi, COVID's over. It's over, Papa. You're going to take these germs like a regular black person.
Yo, I mean, I guess they were like, it's allergies and it's not actual cold, but
still doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was just like
some germs in those allergies.
Right. Like just on some
just snot mist.
It was pretty.
You don't want to walk through the snot mist.
No, who doesn't want? Nobody wants that.
The other thing I want to call out is I normally would not give her any props, but shout out to Ann Coulter for giving Vivek Ramaswamy his nigga wake up call on his own podcast. I don't know if you guys saw this video. So Vivek gives this great intro to Ann. And goes on and says, that's a great intro. And, you know, you are a great candidate and you're very articulate. And, you know, I can say that to you because you're not a Black American, because somehow that's derogatory to Black Americans. So Vivek laughs at that joke. And then she goes on to say, you know, you were actually one of the candidates that I agreed with 99% of what you were saying, but I would have never voted for you because you're an Indian.
Face. Red dot or feather.
Drop. His face absolutely dropped. And I was like, wow, she murdered you on your own cassette. Yo, it's like,
yep.
So they go on and he tried to spin it where it was like, you know, why is she using that as a metric versus loyalty to the country? And she was basically like, listen, no American president has not had any British blood in them. And I'm not going to vote for you because you're an Indian. Sorry.
Wow. But you know what? She's expressing what a lot of Americans, white Americans, feel.
Exactly.
Well, a lot of Americans, because there's some Black folks who wouldn't vote for him because he's Indian either. But I wouldn't vote for him because he's a scumbag.
Exactly.
No, he's Indian.
Fix my Slurpee, not my country, goddammit.
That's pretty much what her attitude was.
But the articulate, quote unquote, compliment should be just as insulting to him as it is to us. Because why wouldn't you be articulate considering what you...
And I don't even think saying someone articulate is offensive. It's the surprise and the condescension of saying it that makes it offensive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, you're so smart for an Indian.
Yeah, exactly.
Has Ann Coulter ever told a white candidate that they are articulate? As if it's a surprise that you can put words together. No, they don't say
it. Fun fact, Ann Coulter used to be fucking Jimmy Walker. Like, she's bizarre.
He's bizarre, too. I don't trust that.
She used to fuck Jimmy Walker. JJ? Yeah.
JJ. Yeah. Dynamite. JJ. Kid Dynamite.
That pussy was dynamite!
And I don't know if you know who Dinesh D'Souza is, who just went to jail recently.
No.
She used to date him, too. So she doesn't mind having sex with Indians. She just doesn't want them to run the country.
Mm. Right. Understood.
Eat my pussy and fix my Slurpee.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was brought to you by a margarita.
Arriba!
Yes, please, Mr. George. Mr. George, the margaritas are very strong, Mr. George.
Next, out of random left field, have you heard Popeye's new catchphrase for their chicken?
Oh, God.
No.
What is it? It'll make you smack your
head. What is it? Popeye's, we don't make sense. We make chicken.
What?
This tells me you don't use actual chicken. Because if you want me to believe that you don't make sense, that means something about your process is not right. So
we don't make sense.
We don't make sense.
We just make chicken sandwiches that make you violent.
I stopped eating Popeyes years ago. I didn't get caught up in the sandwich phrase. Phase. I don't even know if I had. I feel like I have at least had to try once, but I don't remember actually eating a chicken sandwich. Matter of fact, I don't believe I did because I feel like there was some chemicals that they were putting in the chicken to make people react the way that they were to the chicken. And then there was a video that came out that said that there was like 40 different chemicals in the chicken sandwich.
And only to be beaten out by Chick-fil-A, which has 50 chemicals in it.
Yay! Oh,
there was a movie last summer, Jamie Foxx's last movie.
Yes.
Called Tyrone.
Called Tyrone.
Something about Tyrone.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Clone Tyrone.
Clone Tyrone. They clone Tyrone, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll eventually get the title right. Which was actually a play on the Eddie Griffin movie, Undercover Brother.
Yeah.
And he played the role just a little too well for me. Billy Dee Williams played the colonel with Colonel's Chicken, which was having the same effect on people who ate the chicken. So I do believe that they are probably controlling people with the chicken.
Yeah. Stop eating Popeyes and Wingstop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Wingstop is horrible. That's pretty much the end of my check-in. Last night, the Knicks lost a very close game, which would have put them up 3-0. It was heartbreaking. My son actually came to check on me about an hour and a half later. Was like, you good? You all right? At least somebody
Daddy,
came.
Come off the ledge.
I got to say, the officiating last night was on some bullshit.
It was trash.
I didn't see the game, but I heard.
They all need to be investigated.
And it was specifically that one black ref, because he seemed to be right in the middle of all these bad calls.
Check his FanDuel account.
Exactly. Check them all.
Was it this game where somebody called a double dribble, but there was no double dribble? Or was that last game?
That was last game.
Yeah. I feel like the NBA is – this feels like one of those scenarios where the NBA is writing the script.
Well, this is what I told my son. It's sports entertainment.
Yeah. It's feeling like that.
Yeah.
We need to make this longer to get more advertising dollars.
Yeah, and they're playing up the whole 90s Indiana-New York rivalry and trying to rekindle it and trying to get as much bang for the buck that they can out of this. I thought it was crazy, the fouls that were not called against Brunson. I mean, the dude literally was getting beat up, and it was crazy. So it is what it is. We play again Sunday. Hopefully we will then go up 3-1. I think the faster we can wrap up this series, the better, because they need some rest. Mm-hmm. But other than that, go New York, go New York, go. This is your boy L.O. That's my check-in, and I am done speaking.
Merch drop!
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's up, y'all? We need y'all to support this podcast. Pick yourself up a t-shirt, a hoodie. They're soft, they're poly tri-blend, luxurious, they're furry on the inside, they're really plush. You can sleep in them, your wife can sleep in it, your daughter can steal it, and she can sleep in it. Go over to decoding40pod.com and get yourself a t-shirt, hoodie, whatever you like.
Decoding40pod.com.
In the spirit of the New York Knicks winning all of these games, like, honestly, six games ago, I didn't even know who was on the Knicks, but I am fully on the bandwagon now. My wife and I are like, we're watching the Knicks game tonight, excited that the game's going to be on, because this is like the first team that we've been excited about. Like, this team, they're tough as shit. Like, I feel like that you got five Charles Oakleys out there. Everybody's diving for the ball. Everybody wants that ball. That kid Hart, like, seriously,
got Hart.
If it's coming off the rim, Hart is going to be, if he didn't get it, he's going to be damn near close to it. So I'm really proud of them. I'm happy that they're winning. If they get through this series, to me, this is a championship. It's practically a championship. I don't care what you said, they won the Eastern Conference. Fuck you. They don't have the banner, but they won.
Well, they won't do a parade in Manhattan. If they win the Eastern Championship, they'll have a parade in like Brooklyn on down Flatbush Avenue.
No, if they win the Eastern Championship, first of all, the city will go crazy.
Yeah, of course it will.
Absolutely.
And that there's a meme talking about if they were to win the whole thing, win the championship, New York might not survive. And I said it's going to be a very delicate balance. Like, either a lot of stuff is going to get a pass that would normally get somebody fucked up in New York.
Yeah.
Or someone's going to interpret you doing something to them as trying to mess with their joy. And they're going to fuck you up just to return back to that joy, which is going to create chaos.
I think New York is different from like Boston. I think we know how to handle winning. Like, we're not going to burn down. We're not going to burn cars on the street and
we
overturn cars. And climb
an NBA championship in half a century.
But we've won Stanley Cups, and the Yankees have won, the Mets have won since then. We understand winning, not like a place like Boston. We're not going to riot in the streets, but we will go to your town and say, suck my dick.
I think
it will come to about 20 years.
I think you're giving us too much credit, because.
No, I believe in New York. I am so excited about this, right? So my kid's school is having a big fundraiser, right? It's normally like a party, a big party every year where they do an auction and stuff like that. But this year they made it a sneaker ball, right? So you're supposed to get dressed up, but you're also supposed to wear sneakers. And I contacted an artist friend of mine because I just didn't want to just get some random sneakers. I wanted to get some like customs done, right? So he was going to custom paint these sneakers for me. And as I'm looking around for like some blanks to give him, I come across some 92 Ewings in a colorway that was only released in Japan. And it was way cheaper than getting the customs done. Because the customs, I would have had to buy the sneaker, and then I would have had to pay the artist to paint them. But it's like the New York Knicks colors, the Ewings. I remember he was he first was with Adidas back in the day, because those were like the first like basketball.
Was he ever with Pony?
No.
That's Magic. Adidas.
That's Magic.
He was with John Adidas and I think Nike. And
Magic Johnson and Larry Bird were with Pony.
Okay.
And then Ewan was with Adidas. The red, the orange, blue, and white ones. I remember those.
Yeah. I had those. My next door neighbor, Patrick, credit card scammed me some of those from the Spiegel catalog. They used to go to Alexander's and go dumpster diving and get the carbon copies from the credit cards.
Oh,
and man. Yeah, he scammed them for me. Anyway. So those are my first, but I found those Ewings and they came in the box yesterday and they're beautiful. They're beautiful sneakers, but I feel like this is just part of that excitement for what the Knicks are doing this year and really proud of them. And I don't care if they lose every game from here on out. I'm enjoying what they're doing because I really feel like they're fighting hard. This isn't like give up and lose in the fourth quarter, Knicks. This is fight tooth and nail to the end, Knicks. And I'm really loving it. So you, the officials, please stop with your shenanigans and call the fouls when Brunson gets hit like that. One last thing. I want to give a shout out to this dickhead driver today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to tell this very brief story. I dropped my daughter off at her dance class. And they're in rehearsals now for the big showcase. So you can't stay. You have to leave. Right. So I drop her off and me and my son, I took my son to the playground. And as I'm driving past the playground, I see a parking space. I'm like, oh, put it in reverse. And why does a guy like just pull right up behind me on my bumper? Right. All right. I'm going to pull forward a little bit because maybe he didn't see that my reverse lights were on. So I'm going to pull forward a little bit and put it back in reverse. Dickhead pulls right back up under my bumper. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's not moving, but he's blocking me from backing up into the parking space. So I have to get out of the car. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I got to pull into this driveway over here. But I'm like, you saw my reverse lights twice. Why would you pull up behind me as if you can go through me to get to the driveway? And he's acting confused, like, but I have to go in the driveway. I'm like, stupid. You wait for me to park or
go around.
This is like a wide, it's a one-way street, but it's wide.
Huh?
You don't have to be right behind me. You don't have to do this. It's infuriating when I come across drivers that just cannot think. They can only think I go here. And they can't see anything in front of them or people or interacting with other drivers or what's happening on the road.
They can't see 5 feet in front of them.
You know what's so funny? I saw that situation on 125th and Lennox this week where this guy was trying to back into a space and there was a car to his left that could have easily pulled ahead, allow him to park, you know, back into the space. But every time he backed up, the car backed up, but was still too close to him for him to be able to make the turn. So the guy pulls back out of the spot and then waves him up. The guy doesn't move. And he's and our eyes meet and he's like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know, because if I was him, I would have just drove past you. But I think people get so caught in their own world that they don't realize that there are other alternatives, particularly when you're driving, that would make life on the road a lot easier.
I don't get it. We can make space. There's enough space.
Right.
It's not like I'm taking up all the space.
There's also the fucking phone factor. Like, people are on their fucking phones all the fucking time, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I was going to get something to eat with the wife, and this guy's driving a fucking one of these minivans, and he's doing like 25 miles an hour. So I finally get the second lane to go around him. He's literally got the phone in front of him. Like, he's watching a fucking, he's binge watching a Netflix movie while he's driving. And I just look at this motherfucker like, Are you serious? Like, he's got the phone in front of him like he's taking a selfie while he's driving 25 miles an hour. And people like that.
He was probably on his live.
Man, I wish I had Jedi powers.
I think the older I get, the more I'm tempted to call the police. Drop a dime on that motherfucker. Like, if I had the power to give you a ticket, I would. But I don't, so I'm calling the police.
Plate number is...
and take a photo. Oh, God. Please, people, just be considerate when you're on the road. Pay attention to what's going on around you. And just stop pissing me off while you're driving. You know,
get the fuck out the way.
Get the fuck out the way.
Move, bitch.
I did want to talk about one more thing. We were talking about binge watching. So I was binge watching. I don't know if you've ever seen this show on Max. It's called Hacks. It's about
Designing Women.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Where she's like this older comedian, sort of like a
Las Vegas.
Yeah. 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 And she's trying to make a comeback, and then she makes friends with this younger comedian. It's actually a very funny show, and I'm enjoying it. I'm in season three now, and it was pretty funny. So I fell asleep after the Timberwolves game, and then, you know, after my 2-hour nap, it was now 2 o'clock in the morning, and I felt very well rested. So I'm like, okay, I might as well stay up till 4 a.m. So I started binge watching the rest of that. And yeah, if you get a chance, check that out. And have you guys seen Shogun yet?
I didn't realize it was closed caption or what do you call it? Subtitles. I can't do it again right now.
Okay. You got to put a little distance between Tokyo and Vice.
I need a break.
I didn't know that. I haven't seen it yet. I've been looking for it, but it's not available on my streaming service. It's not available yet on my streaming service, but I think it will be available soon.
That dude got my Max.
Instead of Max,
my time.
Exactly. Instead of Max, it's Wax.
Yes, I love technology, and that's it for my check-in.
This Week in Racism, brought to you by the same people for the last 400 years.
This Week in Racism, there's a case in Florida where a sheriff knocks on a door and fires several times and kills a black man who was armed, but he is a airman in our armed services. He is a military person and who's legally allowed to have a gun, and he's in his own home, but he gets shot for answering his front door. His name is Roger Fortson, Airman Roger Fortson, who was killed by a sheriff's deputy. And there's some controversy about how this whole thing went down. Have you guys seen this story?
It was my understanding that they were there on some sort of domestic violence call or domestic dispute, or there was some yelling or something like that. They were called to the location, and like in true, you know, police form, they showed up to the wrong apartment, began, you know, knocking on this gentleman's door kind of aggressively. He was, I think, watching TV at the time or doing something. And because of the knocking was so loud and aggressive, who's knocking on your door and you're not expecting anybody, he went and got his firearm. He had it in his right hand to his side. His finger wasn't even on the trigger. And as soon as the door opened, I don't think there was 2 or 3 seconds before the officer opened fire and shot this gentleman.
So the sheriff's department did release a video. Did you see the video?
I did see the video. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the video.
I can't watch them anymore. They freak me out now.
The challenge with this video for me is what happens before the sheriff even gets to the house. Mm. And as the story will continue to develop, I want to know who these two people were that the sheriff was talking to prior to arriving at Fortson's apartment. Mm-hmm. Because for me, they actually set up the foundation of him being in harm's way. The woman says that there was a disturbance, but she's not sure which apartment it was coming from. She knows the area, but she doesn't know which apartment. So, but then she out of thin air comes up with an apartment number that happens to be Fortson's apartment.
How did she? Do you know how she came to that number? Did she was like, it's in this area?
No, she just,
1401.
Yeah, she just was like, oh yeah, yeah, maybe it's this number.
Oh wow,
eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Cast so he literally was put in harm's way because she came up, because she could have come up with any apartment number, but she came up with his apartment number. And this is what I'm saying: if the story comes out that she and him had some interaction that was less than desirable, this is going to be huge. And this throws way back to any other story where a white woman puts a black man in harm's way.
You know, I thought an important part of this story was that there was no one else in the apartment with him, right? So it wasn't like there was some domestic violence situation that they were responding to. So you couldn't have heard him having a dispute with someone because there was no one else there. I mean, could he have been yelling at his girlfriend on the phone? Maybe. But you certainly didn't hear a smack, and you certainly didn't hear him shoving anyone in the apartment unless he was throwing his phone around at the walls.
Or even when you're trying to hide something from the police, shut the fuck up, I keep it down. Like, there was none of that. Like, there's nothing that made the cops go, oh shit, we're at the right apartment.
Right. There's none of that. As a matter of fact, the sheriff knocks on the door at least three times, steps away from the people so whoever is on the other side can't physically see who's knocking on the door, which I think would have maybe lowered the tension of the situation, because really all he knows, I'm talking about Fortson, is someone is banging very aggressively on my door.
But if you're not even sure where this thing that you're not sure what happened or where it occurred, yes, why are you knocking as if you are, you know, this the suspect's behind this door? Like, this like why would you I'm knock like to. That?
And this is why I really want to know the history, or is there a history with this white woman? Because for her to just give that apartment number and for the police officer to be so aggressive, and he's basically taking a civilian's word as to the veracity of the location of this potential event.
But what did she report happened?
There was no report. This is a conversation that they're having. Like,
no, I'm saying, what did she tell the officer happened?
That there was there was some altercation. She heard some sounds coming from that area, but I don't know what apartment. And then I think maybe he asked again, and he said, well, maybe it was 1409. I can't remember the exact apartment number, but she gives him an apartment number. So to your point, he's going to an apartment that he has no idea what is happening in that apartment, what has maybe happened at that apartment, who is on the other side of that apartment, the apartment door.
And why the fuck is your gun drawn?
When Fortson eventually opens his door, he opens it slowly. The officer has his gun drawn. He sees the gun, and I think he gives him an order to put the gun down, and then he immediately starts firing. Then when Fortson is on the ground, he says, move away from the gun. So Fortson must have either dropped the gun or it's nowhere near his vicinity. First of all, you've been shot. And this goes back to the super Negro mentality that you've been shot several times, but you still have the power to get up and get your gun and then shoot back. You know, this psychology that white men particularly have about black people is disgusting, and it's incredibly dangerous to our existence. And I'm tired of it, because he's 23 years old doing all the things, in quote, that it's supposed to be the right things. He's serving in the military for this country. He's, by all accounts, a good kid.
Who legally has a firearm.
He's a licensed gun owner. And I'm like, where are all the people who are talking about Second Amendment rights? And it just goes back to, every time I hear people say anything like that, it is about white people's right to maintain firearms. Because when black people have firearms, the silence is deafening. And I am absolutely at my wit's end, because literally I have a son who is less than 10 years away from the age that this young man was, who will be on his own and may have to deal with this. And well, it, you know, it's incredibly frustrating.
That's scary. The thing about this particular case and the reasoning in my mind why this cop was probably, I mean, outside of
their always scared. Cop?
Cop.
Oh, this okay, cop.
I didn't say cock. Okay. Pause. This particular, well, he's a dickhead, but he's not a, you know, this particular police officer, this piece of shit. The problem is that they're already scared, right? They're scared, like everything you said, El, that it's, they're scared of the super Hulk strength black man who could take 25 rounds and then still pick up a gun and kill him. All those things are factored into it. But the caveat to the story, or to, in my mind, is a week and a half ago, maybe not even a week and a half ago, we had a situation in Charlotte, North Carolina, where they went to serve a warrant and this particular black man killed four cops and shot other cops. So to me, they kind of went in there with that attitude. Like they already have that attitude, but now that's the excuse, because I'm just waiting for him when they start testifying or they start having the conversation, they really start putting things together. His excuse is going to be, well, you know what happened in Charlotte. And, you know, because of that, I was, you know, when I saw the gun, this is how I reacted, which is just an excuse, because it wouldn't matter when that particular situation happened. That's the excuse you're going to use. Well, I felt threatened for my life. But
that's all they have to say.
That's all they have to say.
Why aren't they scared of white men? Because white men are killing them far more often than black men.
Listen.
Far more often.
I've seen cases and videos where the police officer, there's like five of them, and this white guy is swinging a machete or swinging a gun, and they're pleading with him, please put the gun down. Please put the gun down. They're not even hitting him with a tape. Please don't make me do this.
Yeah. Right.
But a black dude opens the door on some, who the fuck is banging on my door, and gets shot before he can even say anything.
There's one thing I wanted to make note of, because you said that the officer went to the wrong door. And I don't think the officer went to the wrong door. The officer went to the right door. He went to the door that he was directed to. And the reason that I want to make that abundantly clear is because if he went to the wrong door, that means that someone made a mistake.
Well, when I say he went to the wrong door, I'm saying that there was a disturbance.
Yes.
It just was not at his apartment. Like they've established that there was a disturbance.
Right.
But
so there was
to Fortson's door. That's the wrong door.
So there were several parties involved between him coming to the apartment complex and him getting to his door. And everyone involved in that is part of his death, took part in his death. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a mistake. He went to the door that he was directed to. So that means that those two people that he spoke to in the lobby they took part in the death of this man. So I just wanted to make that clear, because it wasn't a mistake. He went to the door that he was directed to.
No, but
whether he was at the door that the disturbance happened, I just want to make that distinction, because I want it to be clear that they had part in this happening to this young man.
Absolutely. The point I'm making is if let's assume the number that she gave, the apartment number that she gave him was 1409, but the apartment number that he should have gone to was 4190.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point I'm making, is that she just saying an apartment number and it not being verified. That's the part. Like, he could have called back and said, hey, I was given 1409. Is that the apartment number that I should be going to check out?
Well, the story that I saw, there was a discussion with dispatch.
And that's what I'm saying. He should have called dispatch.
The 911 call verified the door number that he was directed to. It wasn't like the cop misinterpreted what was said to him. So that's what I just want to be clear about. Like, it wasn't a misinterpretation by the cop. It was a direction made by this other person about where he should go.
What I remember hearing is the conversation that he had with the two people in that lobby. And then he follows up with dispatch and just lets them know that he's going to an apartment.
Right.
He doesn't, according to that part of the video, he doesn't confirm, hey, this woman just told me 1409. Is that the right apartment? There's nothing in the video that he's seeking to find confirmation.
That's the part that's frustrating me
is that he's taking this random white woman's opinion or guess at an apartment, and then he's going on that. That's the part that's really like, I need some clarification on that, because if you show up to my apartment without verifying which apartment you're supposed to be at, that's a problem.
Well, if she's the one that called 911, that's that they're talking to the complaint. This is not a correction.
I don't want that part. I don't want that part to go unchallenged, because if I tell you, hey, your kids are in this apartment and they've been kidnapped, and you go to another apartment based on me telling you where they are.
Right.
And it's the wrong apartment, and you come in, get gun blazing, and you shoot the wrong people just to find out that your kids were in apartment two doors down.
Right.
I'm responsible for that. Yes.
Yes.
But you're also responsible.
That's what I'm saying.
You're also responsible to verify what I've said.
Law enforcement is not responsible for that part. They're responsible for how they interacted with the person they found behind that door, because that's how it works. If somebody makes a complaint,
there's a responsibility before they get to the door.
If somebody makes a complaint about something happening at a specific address, the cop goes there.
But he's at the.
If you call and say your neighbor is hitting his wife, and you give them the door number, they're going to go there.
But if I have two neighbors on both sides of me, where are they going if I just say my neighbor?
They're going to ask you which neighbor.
The bottom line is
one or three. I don't know.
It doesn't matter what door they went to.
It's not a correction. It's not a correction, Leon. It's not me saying they're not responsible. I'm saying both parties are responsible.
It doesn't really matter more than the fact that what really matters is how they reacted and how they handled the situation. You know, you've got to know as a person, let's remove the police officer thing away, because if the police officer was switched roles and you hear somebody banging on your fucking door out of the fucking blue, and you know that you is minding your own fucking business in your house, it's like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like you just start banging on someone's door. Of course.
Yeah.
People are going to react. And one thing we don't know, we haven't been made aware of, is what type of neighborhood was it? Was it a neighborhood that was known for break-ins? Was there a history of anything like that? So the fact that the police officer just starts banging on people's doors like that, it's like, yo, what are we doing? You could have knocked on the door like a normal fucking person without having to be banging on the door for this guy to even think about getting his gun.
Right. For a disturbance, you don't even know the details about what happened.
That's my point. You didn't even, there was no investigation.
You're still investigating. You have no idea what happened or where it happened. So why wouldn't you knock on the door as if, hey, there's a human being in there.
Yeah.
I'm just going, hey, what's up? I need to ask some questions.
Hey, you doing? This is the police. This is
Did
officer
you hear anything? Such.
Yes. Yes. And you can do that before he even asks. If you knock on the door, you go, hey, how you doing, this officer? Anybody in there? Unless this motherfucker got on some Beats by Dre and he don't hear anything, like, I don't understand how you don't knock on someone's door as the police and say, hey, this officer such and such, we had a call. Is anybody in there? Hello?
Right.
And there's none of that. It's just knock, 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 opens the door.
None of that.
So, I don't know, man. These police, man, it's fucked up.
Yeah, and I'm only saying that the person misdirecting them has to be accountable as well.
Of course.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, especially like Elle said, especially if we find out this person had some sort of beef or there was some sort of problem with this particular person, because that whole cry wolf shit, that's ridiculous. But the police definitely need to go to jail for that shit.
Yeah, first of all, we need to get rid of qualified immunity, but that's another conversation. But the other piece that is really troubling me is this Second Amendment piece, where it's always about, I got to have my guns. And if we're going to live in a country where we are going to have guns, the police have to be aware that who you encounter, it's a good chance they're going to have a gun, particularly if you're in certain states.
Yeah. There's so no reason for them to not think in Florida that somebody
highly likely that the person that you're about to encounter, particularly in Florida, is going to have a firearm. And if you are that scared to be dealing with the public who are going to be armed or most likely going to be armed, it's time for you to reconsider your occupation.
I want to know what sort of investigation they did before they knocked on that door, because I think that that's very crucial. Did they know anything about who was potentially behind that door before they knocked? Because I think that sways how they approached.
Well, they had a call that there was a white woman getting beat up by a black person. Maybe who the fuck knows? But it was they just handled that shit all the wrong way.
Yeah, I would encourage you. You don't have to watch the whole video, but there's the beginning of the video when he's talking to two people. They're not identified yet. And just hear what she says happened, how she describes where he should go, because she doesn't know exactly where it happens. She just knows the general vicinity and what happened and whatever happened. We still don't even know if it was domestic abuse, but I think a neighbor heard sounds coming from an apartment.
What the article I read is she claimed she heard yelling and a slap. I'm not sure how you heard a slap.
Right.
Unless they could have been having sex. Door. I'm like,
they could have been having sex. And I'm not trying to make light of domestic violence. What I'm saying is you don't know what was happening on the other side of that door for sure.
Right.
And for you to make such a declarative declaration as to what was happening or what you believe what was happening, and to put somebody else's life in danger, not even in danger. It is a fatal mistake.
That just made me think about another question. This is at least 14 stories in this building. Does she live on that floor? There's at least 14, because it's
the number is
1401.
It's like in the South, you know, it's like building 14.
It's like a garden apartment type.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like a garden apartment.
Yeah.
Open face.
So what? Okay. So it's 1401. Like, how close was this person to this apartment that they would have heard this? So that means that they live pretty close proximity, unless it's like, you know, one of those with a catwalk and you're walking past it and you heard.
Yeah, it's an apartment building with a catwalk. Yeah, it's.
Well, they're going to do the investigation. They're going to do the investigation. They're going to ask questions, because more than likely, if there is a history of the police coming there, of domestic violence, anything of that nature, and they've been called there before, and it's, you know, the person who called, the woman who gives, oh yeah, this happens all the time. Or it's the Simpsons and they live over here, not that apartment. They live over in this area because they're always arguing. They're always fighting. Whatever the situation is, there's usually not one call and the police come blazing. It's usually a history of habitually happening. Oh yeah, this guy constantly beats his girlfriend, or he's always arguing with somebody in that apartment.
Oh, they would have released that day one. They would have released that day one. They digging now. They digging. They trying to find something.
Yeah, of course. But that's the thing. Like, they wanted to release the tape of what happened, because according to whoever the guy in charge was, we want to be transparent. We don't want anything to be taken out of, you know, or we don't want to hide anything or everybody says, oh, it's misconduct or you guys are hiding something. So we're going to just drop the tape real quick so everybody sees it. So no one can say, oh, we're hiding and we're trying to get away with something. But I hope when they start doing the research, people start saying, nah, we don't want to put that out. Let's delete that. Because if something leads to the fact that this is a constant person that's causing domestic violence and they have an apartment number and they've been called there before, that's going to create a problem.
Yeah, it's going to come out. I have to believe if they were called to that apartment multiple times, if he was a known subject, that would have been in the first police report.
Of course, you know, here comes Johnny again. He's fucking at it again.
Right, but he also would have known where to go.
Yes.
He wouldn't have had to ask.
Yeah. Right.
Well, hopefully we get some justice for that young man. He deserves it.
Absolutely. Serving his country, doing the things that he was supposed to do, and legally holding the firearm that this country says he's allowed to have and still gets killed. Doing the things he's supposed to do.
Exactly.
That sounds about white.
Sounds about white. A Virginia school district.
Wait, didn't we do that?
I know, right?
That was this week in racism.
Feels like it, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
This is the whole white people to the fire show.
Sounds about white. Shenandoah Valley School District hit the brakes and threw it in reverse on renaming some schools in their district.
They want to
re-celebrate Confederate leaders from the Civil War, Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. They want to go back and rename those high schools after these Confederate leaders. It seems like everything that we tried to accomplish after
George Floyd,
and all these protests, we took down statues, we changed names of schools because we didn't want to celebrate these traitors and Confederate leaders and proponents of slavery. They want to take it all back now.
They want to put it back. Yeah.
From DEI to
CRT.
CRT. Well, they haven't said it in a long time. I almost forgot. Critical race.
Yeah, because DEI is
they haven't seen it in a while.
New CRT.
Now DEI is the criminal. It's the buzzword.
But you know what it is? It's almost as if they took the letters down that spelled these people's name and just put them in a room. Like, put it on ice.
Yeah.
Give it a couple years, they'll forget about it. We'll come out with a new chicken sandwich and then we'll just go back to naming our schools what we want. It's like, yo, this shit is ridiculous. This shit, like I when you put it in, I don't know if you put it in the chat or L put it in the chat. It was like, it's almost as if, you know, not only are they doubling down, but it's like, we're over it. So fuck your feelings. We're going to go back to what we're going to name it before. And we don't care whether you like it or not. This is how we.
I think it's more diabolical than that, because on one hand, they want to get rid of DEI, anti-woke, the whole CRT thing, but they want to celebrate a time where. Yes, where Black people were subjugated to all types of laws and ill treatment. So it's really like saying, not only do we hate you, we want to really let you know how much we hate you, because we want to bring back all the things that show you when you were put in your place in this country.
But they don't want to teach about the era of slavery.
But that's all I was just about to say.
Time, but want right, to celebrate the leaders
yeah.
of that era.
Picking right. But, and what they talk about in history.
So you think about, I think it's Mississippi wants to now have a Confederate month or week where they celebrate the Confederacy. Like, this is bizarre thinking. Like, it always throws me back to Baldwin. It's like, I'm not a nigger, but you need one. Why?
I think there should be a federal law prohibiting any sort of Confederate celebration.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In the
if
same
Biden
way,
Germany, wants my vote, that's something he'll sign. Exactly.
Germany, outright nothing Nazi is happening in Germany. It's illegal. Not to say that they won't try it, but if you try it, you're going to jail.
Listen.
Because it's illegal. You're definitely not passing any laws.
They need to have that law the same way they say you can't say anything about Israel or anything like that in colleges and universities, or it's considered anti-Semitic. They need to have the same type of law. If you talk about Confederacy and all that other shit, then you get defunded or you don't get any money from the federal government or anything like that. Because this shit is ridiculous.
Yes.
How the fuck you change the name and then go, you know what? We changing it back. And this was voted. This wasn't something that, you know, a parent complained. This was voted in by their fucking by the governments in those particular towns.
So the city council was voted for this.
Yes.
The racism is so deeply embedded. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about being in Virginia and one of the locations that we were shooting on was on this hilltop in Virginia. I'm not going to say where it was because trying to jeopardize the J-O-B.
Safety first.
But I was in shock when I saw the portrait of Stonewall Jackson on the wall. And while I didn't see the other portrait in the other room of Robert E. Lee, one of my colleagues saw it and was like, what the fuck? Like, you wear your racism so proudly on the wall. Like, right. Unless you're a direct descendant, even if you're a direct descendant, that's still too much. But let's just say this is my family history. You're not related to both of them. You're just saying, look at my racism.
You know what kills me about that particular situation, Rick, is the gaslight that follows all of that. I'm just celebrating my heritage. I'm just like, what are we talking about here? These motherfuckers were clear racists who did not like black people at all. Mm-hmm. Who made it
and they were the losers.
Yes, and made it their business to try to keep the powers that be to have slaves. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Why the fuck do you have this motherfucker's picture in your house?
Well, to them, it wasn't about black people. It was about the federal government trying to take their property because we weren't people.
Right. True that. And then there's that.
And their minds are still wrapped around that. The federal government trying to tell them what to do with their property.
But you know what I find ironic that always gets me angry, that usually people don't really discuss as much when you're talking about slavery. How these motherfuckers were compensated by the government after slavery was over. They literally received reparations for not having slaves anymore.
Yeah, but right? I'm talking about reparations for black people.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? You cut these motherfuckers a check because they lost their quote unquote property. The people who made them the billions and dollars in cotton money, we're going to cut you a check. But the people who actually did the work, nah, y'all don't deserve nothing.
No, this is why they're afraid. This is why they're scared, because they think we're coming back for it. We want that. We should get it. I'm just saying we should get it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reminded by that sister who was talking during the whole George Floyd resistance and revolts, where she said, the problem is you know that we have a right to be angry and retaliate, but we don't. That's the piece, because you know we will be justified.
Right. But it speaks to their level of savagery and what they've done, and them saying, why don't you guys want revenge? What's wrong with you? Because I've seen, you know, white allies on TikTok and things like that say to talk to other white racists and be like, I understand why you're so scared. But that's not what black folks are doing right now. We get a little love here and just leave us the fuck alone. And everything that you set up to keep the community down, from redlining to everything, it's like, and through all of that, you're not hearing about cases of black people creating militias and just hunting down white folks.
You know, it would be one thing if you did the crime of enslaving people, raping them, kidnapping them, murdering them. But once we got to the point where we were free and you intentionally trip us up, steal from us, that's the next level of the crime.
And then create the narrative of that they're lazy, even though you built the country.
That's the trick. 4 o'clock in the morning, watching people go to work.
Yeah.
4 o'clock in the morning. Ain't no white people on the train at 4 o'clock in the morning going to work.
No.
It's pure black and brown people.
Yes. All day.
All day.
Fucking day. You know, and not to say there's not white folks doing that, but you ride the subway in the morning. There's very few white people, and those white people are usually meth addicts. So there's that.
In New York City. I don't know about New York City.
Yeah, in New York City, a white person up at 4 o'clock in the morning, there's something going on, and it's usually methamphetamines. That's what I'm saying.
And that's not to say that there's not hardworking white people in this country, because I know that there are. I've met some, and I know some, and I watch them work. Yeah. No. Some of my best friends.
So my best friends are white. No, I'm just all jokes aside. But no, of course they're hardworking white folks in this country. I'm not going to say that. And those are the ones who ironically defend the rich motherfuckers who not only step on them, but enforce this racial thing. And they I never owned a slave. I know we never said you did, but the motherfucker you work for, his family probably did, and they need to pay the fuck. Right.
There's an institution that's invested in seeing us held back, from preventing us. I mean, even when you're looking at real estate, we talked about this this is probably like 30 episodes ago, but we talked about the real estate situation in California where this black couple was trying to sell their house. And when they removed everything black and put their white friend in the house when they were doing the appraisal, it came up $200,000 more. Mm-hmm. Just by having a white face and nothing representing blackness in the house.
Yeah, it was a good thing. Ray recommended in the 60s.
You were stealing. That was theft.
Yeah. Grand larceny.
I had armed robbery. I heard Bitch McConnell say something the other day, and I don't know if it was the other day, but it's an audio of him and a video of him, and he's like racism's gone. We elected a black president, and you were the first person, Mr. McConnell, to have a meeting in some fucking bar somewhere and say, we're not going to let this motherfucker get anything passed. Our mission for the next 4 fucking years is to make sure this motherfucker don't get nothing passed. But in the same breath, you'll say, there's no racism. You know, we elected a black president.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you got the white guy calling your wife Chow Chow.
He probably calls
her. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. Bizarre behavior.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could not punch. I don't think I could stop myself from punching Mitch McConnell if I saw him in person.
Yeah. I want to be.
He wouldn't remember. He wouldn't remember what happened.
Yeah, he gets punched in the face and just freeze.
Right.
And then wake up the next morning with a black fucking eye. Oh, what happened to me? I was there and this black gentleman said something to me. And next thing I know, it was pow.
Right, he wouldn't even remember that. He would wake up.
He would just be sitting there and there would just be a flash. And then he'd wake up.
God, he would wake up the next day, get ready for work. He wouldn't know what happened to him.
Mr. McConnell, your face is swollen. What?
What That's happened? Probably what happened with his hand. Some black man probably slammed his hand.
I think his wife did that personally. I think she's beating him in his
chow chow. Chow is fucking this man's called me chow chow.
And you ain't gonna say nothing.
You ain't gonna say nothing.
Yeah.
Put your hand on the
chow chow. Yeah, right.
She put something. She put something more in raisins than the potato salad. She put some motherfucking rat poison for his ass.
Mitch, he called me chow chow. You ain't say nothing. Put your hand on.
Oh, well, what was I supposed to do? You are chow.
Put your hand on the piano,
boss. Tommy was one of my guys. He was one of your guys, wasn't he?
Is it broken? Yeah, it's broke pretty good.
Harlem Nights reference, ladies and gentlemen. Harlem Nights.
It's broke pretty good. Oh man, fucking Mitch McConnell. Oh, the rest of them, they're all fucking, you know.
All of them. Oh, that reminds me. I wanted to say Hillary Clinton, I'm actually glad she did not become president. She is so full of shit. She's on television basically telling. She's just doing propaganda right now. And it was so obvious. I'm not going to get into what kind of propaganda she's talking about, but it was so obvious that it was like, I don't know why I believed anything you ever said, because you are clearly an institutionalist, a propagandist, and you're full of shit.
Of course. Wow.
Thank you.
Summed it up.
But, you know, she All does right. keep hot sauce in the bag. So that's, you know, she does that.
Only during election cycles.
Yeah, she has hot sauce.
Yeah.
And she also has Kool-Aid packets. Hot sauce.
General
TSO.
What about Fun Dip packets?
She has Fun Dip and Now and Laters.
And Now and Laters, nice.
She's got the rainbow pack of Now and Laters.
Oh, I would have voted if she had cherry.
It depends on which crowd she's talking to.
She probably has the lemon when she's at the swing voters.
These are so sour. I've got more in my bag.
She goes to Inwood. I've got some Frito in my bag. So
I always keep salsa. I have arroz con polo. That's my favorite meal. Yo, did you ever see, real quick, you ever see that video of her? Oh, it was a picture of her. She went, I guess she was in Harlem or she was somewhere in a fucking apartment. And the face she had when she went to that apartment, because it was a shitty apartment. And she just had this face like, oh my God, how long are we going to be here? Please get me the
fuck out of here. Who booked this? They're fired.
Yeah. get Tommy on the phone.
Oh, honey. We said we wanted to be with the real people. But not the real, real.
No real for me.
This is too real.
Too fucking real.
You get $3 million untaxed, but you have to live entirely off the supplies at your closest convenience store for 3 years. Mm. Think about the store, bodega, that's the closest to you. You can only live off of what's in there. Eat, drink, dress out of that store for 3 years. But for year one, you're allowed one set of clothing, top or bottom, like underwear, socks, shoes, from anywhere else once a month. Year two.
Okay.
It sounds like my life. I don't know.
You're allowed one meal per month from anywhere. One meal per month. Okay. Everything else has to be made from that convenience store, bodega, corner store, whatever. And then year three, total immersion, nothing from outside, no clothes, no food, nothing.
Okay, so
where do I get my food in year three?
From bodega.
That bodega.
Oh, just from the bodega.
Only eat from there. Year two, you can get one meal a month from outside.
So by year two, I have a serious, serious high cholesterol problem. Probably going to be diabetic and have already lost a limb. And my salt content is through the roof.
Right. There's
no fucking way.
I can go out of my house. I can go work out, right?
You can work out, yeah.
But you're going to be too tired to work out with no foot.
Everything that you eat.
Bodega has salads.
Everything you eat.
Your bodega does.
Your bodega. Everything you eat, drink, and wear has to come out of that bodega.
So I'm wearing maybe a long white tee and a bonnet. And and there's nothing like they don't even sell. I'm trying to think because the closest one to me is the corner store. I don't think they don't have any fruits and vegetables at all.
No,
they don't even have onions in there unless it's and they might have one onion in there.
Wow.
Maybe. And that's
you have to make sure that with the deli.
That's the deli. They have the deli onion. They don't even have a deli. It's not really a deli's deli. It's like it's not no boar's head in there. So it's like the cheap fucking, it's just horrible in there. And it always smells like they're frying bacon and eggs in there. So I'm going to have a steady diet of bacon and eggs. I'm telling you about it. By year two, my blood is.
You can't have a steady diet of bacon and eggs.
Son, you're asking me what they serve there. Eggs, bacon, and rolls. And they have a deli case that has like some cheese and some milks. And it's never the same milk. It's never the same cheese. They have a very limited supply of canned goods. So, yeah. Chef Boyardee.
Are you saying yes or no? Are you saying yes or no? And wait, when would we get the money?
But I might not be alive in the third year.
After 3 years at the end.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to need that money to buy another foot. And another heart, nigga, because I'm going to have serious medical issues. Are you kidding me? I got diabetes. I got diabetes. I got diabetes. I got high blood pressure. My eyes is red just from the salt. Oh, my God.
I would actually have to take like a survey because there's one bodega that's about a block and a half from me. Mm-hmm. But then the other one is on the avenue, but it's short blocks in between. So that one could technically be closer to me. And that's the only thing that's going to save my life. Because if I have to live off the other one, I'm fucked. First of all, it's dirty.
Is it
their inventory is suspect.
You in there like Hillary Clinton was up in that apartment.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want anything from the deli case. It just has to be wrapped the fuck up.
I don't even go in there. Like,
you go in there for like a book of matches.
Dude, like the door... First, I thought it was frosted, but it's so dirty. Like, you can't see through it. Like, it's scratched up. I'm like, no. I can't. There's nothing you want from there.
Lottery numbers. That's it.
This is the last ditch. This is the last stop. This is like everything else is closed. I'm going to get a bag of chips because it's sealed. Like,
listen, if you're thirsty and you really want to get the beatus, they have a year supply of Tropic Fantasy in there. That's the Tropical Fantasy store. 59-cent sodas for like a 2-liter, nigga.
Yeah.
It's the pure beatus.
I'm
pure
trying diabetes. I think I could survive.
You go into the bodega where I know you might be going to, that
one on the corner? Yeah.
You would survive because they do have fruits. They have fruits. Like, you're going to have a lot of potassium because
bananas
and apples, maybe. and then you have a selection of beers. You have
Oh god, you've been gentrified, sir.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Muhammad.
It's always kind of been like that, though.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, his name is Muhammad. That wasn't like a slur. The only problem is there's a lot of fried food there.
Yeah.
So I would have to, but they do make salad. So, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. You're going to live.
Elle's going to live. I am not going to live.
I need someone to put the measuring tape because it could be closer on the avenue. And if it goes to Nostrin and it's technically closer.
I feel like that dirty one is closest to you because you want the other one to be closer.
I do. Yeah. I do. I fear that the dirty one is actually closer. Yeah. And I can't.
We've measured it. One is 1,075 feet. The other one is 1,072 feet. And dude is sitting there with a fucking wife beat on, like, come on, my friend.
You knew it was us. You knew it was us. Come on. Come on, friend.
My buddy, I've got Tropical Fantasy Soda for you.
Go ahead, scratch it. Like,
why are you always wearing triple X wife beaters? Yeah. That's all they had, bro. That's all they had.
That's another thing. White beaters and fucking white tees.
The challenge would be the clothing. I don't think they have any. They probably have white beaters in
there. They got white tees in there. Yeah.
Do-rags.
Yeah, do-rags. Maybe I'm making pants out of do-rags. Sewing them together on some.
You got to get. I think you have to get innovative. You have to figure it out.
You'd have to use the do-rag like a loincloth. It would just like cover your business. And you'd have to like fashion some sort of underwear with those, you know.
But
like you said though, Rick, if you have the first year for every month, you get an article of clothing. So that's 12 outfits. You'll be able to work with that.
Article of clothing?
No. That's your clothes. That's the clothes that you get that has not come from that bodega.
So that's one outfit.
You get one outfit.
One outfit. Okay.
Then you're just going to see me. You're just going to see me in jeans and white. What about in the winter? Do I get a jacket?
I mean, you probably have the coat that you already have.
You got to use
unless your bodega sells them. You're not getting a new coat.
You got to use loaves of bread and make a coat out of it.
That's insulation.
Wrap yourself with fucking saran wrap. Keep your body warm.
Yo, I'm using the bag wrappers from all the popcorn and Lay's potato chips that I'm eating.
That's good because it has that
for lining. Yeah.
You're gonna look like a New York City marathon runner with them shits on. That foil they give you at the end of the marathon, we'll be rocking one of them shits. Yeah, I'm rocking. If I'm lucky, he has like a bootleg hat, so I got white tees and like a bootleg hat.
There's definitely a Pooh Shiesty cap there.
Okay. No, I think L, you probably have the best situation.
Yeah, he does.
You got a full deli. I don't know if this place even has a deli. I have not gone that far into the store to be honest.
Then that is definitely the closest deli to you or bodega to you.
So there might be a deli counter. I'm not really sure, to be honest.
The bodega cat's in there. He's the cashier. Bodega cat's giving you Lucy's.
He's the manager. Fluffles the manager.
Get a turkey and cheese. Hold the hair. Hold the hair, please. Yeah, I would have serious cholesterol and sugar issues after that.
I would try it. I would die trying.
The only seeds that they have there are sunflower seeds.
I mean, if they have the unsalted ones, that would be better. If you do the salted ones, you're not going to last a month.
And what's crazy is that they do have salted there. They do have pasta. They do have tomato sauce, but they sell like salad dressings, but there's no salad products in there. No salad. There's no fucking. There's nothing.
Gotta bring your own salad, Poppy.
this spot is owned by an Indian dude. He's cool. He's a nice guy, but yeah, there's nothing in there that's gonna make me survive for 3 years.
No.
Yeah, I'd be fucking. Like, no, I tell you
got no vegetables. Well, no, there's canned vegetables in there.
No. Mm. Maybe corn. Maybe
there
corn.
There are canned vegetables in there. You don't know how long they've been there.
No,
but they are there.
A long time.
They are there. A long time.
Because sometimes the cakes and shit in there, you look at that shit, I'm like, 19 what? Yo, it's crazy. The expiration dates in there, yeah. Or what's worse is the chocolate bars. You can't tell how long the chocolate's been there without looking at the expiration date. And even if it expiration date is, it says like 2026 or whatever, when you open it up, the chocolate's all white because.
Oh, no. My man, you spent too much time in that place. Yeah. You spent way more time than I would not give it that much time.
Are you in your third year?
I've already lost both of my feet.
You got to cash out.
$3 million is not going to be enough.
I'm already living this.
$3 million is not going to be enough. I'm going to need a new heart, new foot. Yeah, that's no way.
Oh, man. So tell us what your experience is going to be like. Call us at 619-940-4040. Text us. Tell us what your experience would be like at your closest bodega. Would you be able to survive 3 years on only the supplies available at your closest bodega? Decoding 40. This has been another episode of Decoding 40. We appreciate you joining us every Friday. Tell me what you learned this week, fellas.
I learned that at the end of that 3 years, arteries is clogged and I may have lost a foot. And I'm an official diabetic.
I learned that trolls come in all different shapes and sizes.
I learned that white people are prepared to teach their children who their heroes are, but not what they've done.
I like that.
And with that, again, join us next week for another episode of Decoding 40.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.